Welcome to the Student Press Law Center podcast for July 2009, a monthly rundown of news about legal developments affecting the student media. The Student Press Law Center is a champion for student voices. We recognize the essential role that free speech and a free press play in a democratic society. The SPLC is committed to nurturing and protecting those freedoms for the next generation. For more information about the center's work, go to www.splc.org. I'm Frank Lamonti, Executive Director of the Student Press Law Center. Thanks for joining us. In April of this year, Henry Rome, a graduating senior at Conestoga High School near Philadelphia, won the student journalism equivalent of the Heisman Trophy, the Journalism Education Association's National High School Journalist of the Year. The award was primarily for Henry's work on a 2008 story about an illegal gambling ring being run by a student at his school in which a number of other students participated as bettors. Henry and his newspaper, The Spoke, under the leadership of current editor Seth Zweifler, have had another award-worthy year in 2009, and Henry and Seth are here with us to talk about some of the outstanding work that they published in the past semester and some of the consequences from that work. Well, when a student wins a national award, that's normally cause for his school district to celebrate, but when students win journalism awards, sometimes their school officials react quite differently, and so it was in the case of Henry Rome. Less than a week after coming home from Phoenix, Arizona with his award, Henry learned that the Tredyffrin Easttown School District was considering a policy to put all student media under administrators' mandatory prior review, and that the superintendent was proposing a new job description for media advisors, which includes making sure that students can no longer publish editorial content deemed to be in bad taste. Well, the First Amendment, of course, protects students in public high schools against administrative regulation of lawful viewpoints, even if the students are using school resources and publishing on campus. And the Pennsylvania Department of Education, in fact, has its own regulation which reaffirms that Pennsylvania wants students to have the maximum protection possible under the First Amendment as a matter of Pennsylvania state law. Well, prior review policies of this kind are generally based on myths and misinformation. There are virtually no recorded cases of schools being successfully sued for what students publish in a student-run newspaper, and to the contrary, there's legal authority that strongly suggests that schools assume greater responsibility for students' work the more deeply they entangle themselves in newsroom decision-making. Well, Seth Zweifler and Henry Rome are with us here to talk about the stories they published in The Spoke this year and about the school district's reaction and what they're doing now. So, Seth and Henry, thank you for joining us. And let's start off with Seth. Can you sort of set the scene for us and tell us a little bit about some of the stories that The Spoke took on this past semester?
Absolutely. And before I start, you know, thank you very much, Frank, and for the SPLC as well for giving us this opportunity to speak with you today. This past school year, The Spoke has really ventured into, I guess you can say, uncharted territories with regards to the stories and the issues we've covered. You know, I'll start by describing some logistical information about our newspaper for the listeners first. The Spoke is published 7 times a year. We are a 24-page newspaper in a tabloid format. We are made up of about 40 staff members and editors with two faculty advisors as well. So in December 2008 of this year, we started what will become a series of enterprise stories and investigative pieces that really took broad looks at certain issues. The first of these stories, which I actually wrote myself, was published in December of 2008, and it was entitled Coming Out in the Classroom. And this story really took an inside look at the lives of openly lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender students, really looking at their struggles, their hopes, and their courage, and also taking a broader look at how the issue of sexual orientation influenced our school as a whole. Then, 2 issues later, for our 5th issue of the year, I published the story that was entitled Carrying Hope. And this special report took an inside look at the life of one particular student who was actually a 17-year-old mother at the school, a junior at Conestoga High School, where The Spoke is, and also, once again, explored how the issue of teenage pregnancy played a role within the Conestoga community as a whole.
Well, Henry, let me turn this over to you. You also had a piece that ran in the Spoke this year that was entitled Obligation to Report, and it talked a little bit about some potential weaknesses in the way that schools in your district monitor the criminal records and criminal activities of employees. Can you explain a little bit about, I guess, what led to that story and how it unfolded?
Sure, absolutely. Well, again, as Seth said, it's great to be on, and thank you very much, Mr. Lamonti, for having us today. Yeah, so basically what happened was the district announced that one of its elementary school custodians had been arrested in connection with two armed bank robberies. So what, you know, what we, along with, you know, the other press in the area, you know, we reported on what happened and, you know, took a look at the fact that, okay, he worked in a school and he, you know, he was arrested for these bank robberies. But, you know, while the attention kind of faded away, what the Spoke kind of did was we said, all right, he had been the custodian for about a decade in the school district. You know, you probably don't go from having a clean record to allegedly robbing these banks. So we started to take a look at public records, court records, and figured out that he had been arrested on felony aggravated assault charges. While he was a district employee, he didn't report that arrest to the school district as he was required to. And then so we really kind of took a look at, you know, this one situation and brought it and said that, okay, school districts in Pennsylvania really have very limited powers to find out if their employees are, in fact, criminals or violent criminals. And, you know, there's legislation pending in the state Senate right now that's looking at strengthening those powers. So we really kind of looked at, you know, hey, school districts really have very limited powers to figure out what their employees are doing. And it really just relies on the employees themselves to report if they'd been arrested. So that came out in our June issue.
Well, this is some really serious editorial content for people in a high school publication to be taking on, and it was very sensitively done. And I'm just curious about what sort of reaction did you guys hear back, either from the readers or from other people in the school community?
Well, I think we can say that we've certainly received some very encouraging reactions. I'll start by talking about the two stories I referenced in my discussion, Coming Out in the Classroom and Carrying Hope. And something that I think is very telling is not only the fact that I had many students in the hallway come up to me with congratulatory remarks and just positive remarks about the content of the story, but there were also a number of teachers throughout the school and throughout the building who used the content in these stories as a prompt sort of for discussion that was actually held in the classroom setting. I'll give you one example. I actually just found out a few weeks ago that one of the English teachers at our school recently gave a writing assignment that was based off of the story Coming Out in the Classroom. So I think there was certainly a lot of respect throughout the student body and throughout the teachers at the school that we were willing to cover such important topical issues, even if they were slightly controversial. And I think the reaction was overwhelmingly positive from those stories.
Great. And Henry, from your perspective, you actually had some response, even up to and including people in the Pennsylvania legislature, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, I think we just as with Seth's stories, we took a very, you know, objective look at controversial pieces, and, you know, most of the feedback I heard back was really, you know, this is something that needed to be told, something people needed to know about, and that the community really is better off knowing this, because really what was going on in the state legislature and what was going on in our district really hadn't been reported, you know, very thoroughly by the press. So I think, you know, we feel like, and the reaction we've heard tells us that, you know, we really are telling people in the community, the students, teachers, administrators, and then, you know, all the people in our school district information that they really need to know.
Well, now your school district is talking about both imposing mandatory prior administrative review and then also holding the advisors of student media responsible for making sure that, quote-unquote, dangerously offensive content or content that's deemed to be in poor taste can no longer appear in the student media. Seth, why don't you explain a little bit about sort of how the newspaper has been functioning in the past as compared with how you would envision it functioning if these new rules became the norm?
Absolutely. Well, first I'll address the issue of prior review, because that is obviously one of the larger issues here. To our knowledge and with our practice, the Spoke has never had a system of mandatory administrative prior review in place. when we have written controversial stories or stories that we deem might be controversial or might draw some large reaction from our readership, what we've done in the past is, through our own accord, we've actually shared a number of stories with school administrators in advance with the understanding that they would have no say over the content in the story, but we were more doing them a sort of courtesy in allowing them to preview something. We understand that administrators oftentimes need to deal with various reactions from students and from parents, and we respect the position that they have, and we feel that we have a good working relationship with the administration, and there is certainly no understanding that there is any sort of administrative prior review right now. With regard to the position of the advisors on the newspaper, the Spoke has a very clear publication policy on its own that we've actually had in practice for a number of years now, and that publication policy that we put out there stipulates that the Spoke really is a student newspaper. Our advisors are very experienced, very consummate professionals, and they know very well what they're doing, and they offer excellent advice. But the advisors understand, and we understand, that their role is simply to educate about issues in journalism today and offer their advice on any content that we might run. Their job is to consult, to not censor, and obviously the changes being proposed would greatly alter that system.
Well, Henry, I think a lot of people who are not sort of insiders in scholastic journalism probably look at a proposal like Prior Review, and it looks harmless to them. It looks relatively benign to them. What is the harm, in your view, in switching from the system that you have now to a system where administrators are involved in the editorial judgment?
Sure. Well, I mean, what you see in practice at other school districts where Prior Review is implemented is really two things. One is administrators kind of outstep their boundaries and pull any story that would be, you know, that would make the school look bad, really, and they would do that, you know, saying that it's a prior review. And the second part, perhaps, you know, even more frightening, is students will really just self-censor, and they just won't cover controversial pieces, stories that they feel need to be told, because they feel like that the administration may just pull them at the last second. I mean, what's the sense in, you know, spending 4 months on a story if you know it'll get pulled the day before your paper is set to publish? So those are really what, you know, has been seen in other school districts in practice. And, you know, it really would take away what this newspaper is and, you know, what it's respected to be. I mean, the community and the students, teachers, administrators have come to expect, you know, the kind of journalism in this paper, telling people not only what they want to know, but what they really need to know about what's going on in their community and the issues facing, you know, the students and the school. You know, as to what's going on. So it really would just take away what the paper is. And I can tell you with certainty that the articles that have been published this year, you know, would have been really reconsidered and most likely would not have been published if Prior Review was in place. And the question becomes, you know, is the community better off knowing the issues facing students in the school? Is the community better off knowing that, employees in schools may be criminals? And if Prior Review was in place, you know, that information just would not get out there.
Well, obviously, the two of you are concerned that this jeopardizes the future ability of the paper to do some of the great journalism that you've done in the past. So, Seth, maybe you can explain a little bit about how you've gone about making those concerns known. And maybe this could be some advice that other students who find themselves in a situation like this could learn from themselves.
Right. Well, actually, very recently, Henry and myself sat down with a key member of the policy committee and spelled out some of our concerns. And we were able to, you know, kind of gauge a better understanding of where these school district officials, school board officials and administrators are coming from. But there certainly is still a long way to go in that discussion. But we have started the discussion there. In addition, our story has been featured in a number of local newspapers. A number of local news outlets have gotten wind of our situation, and the Spoke is a relatively known publication throughout the area. We are, you know, relatively outspoken, and the newspaper as well as our accompanying website does get out there, and we have had a number of publications do stories about the current situation, which has gotten some nice press for the issue. In addition, we are currently in the process of sending out some context and sending out some information to a number of loyal supporters in the community who we know would aid the Spoke if the situation did arise where we would ask for their help to escape any sort of prior review or administrative control.
Well, And I think Henry alluded to this very, very clearly in his comments. But Seth, you know, you'll be the editor this coming year. How do you think your approach to being editor of this paper might change if you know that both your administrators will be reviewing the paper and also that your advisor is under these new marching orders that say that she is to police the content much more tightly?
Well, I'll start off with this, and I think this is something that even people who are not very familiar with student press and student press rights can understand. If, you know, I had spent 4 months writing a story, spent a very long time researching a story, it would be a logistical nightmare if, at the very last minute, if 3 or 4 days before the newspaper was released to the student body, I was told by an administrator that that story cannot run because it sheds a bad light on the school community. As a result of that, as the editor-in-chief, who I have the final say over content that goes in the newspaper, I think I can say with a good amount of certainty that I would refrain from assigning any stories that I might view as that could be viewed as controversial by the school board, by the school administration. Now, when it comes to the note you made about our advisors, I think that's something that is also very important to talk about as well. Now, in this policy and regulation proposal that was released in late June, I kind of view the role expectation for the advisor as sort of a double-edged sword. Now, as I said earlier, advisors are very consummate, experienced professionals. However, what this role expectation stipulates, it stipulates two things. Number one, our advisor is charged with the responsibility to teach students how to be good journalists, and that's something I think any good educator should do. However, at the same time as that, the advisor is told that they are to work to censor students upon instruction from the school administration. So you're kind of held to a double standard there. You're attempting to teach students how to be good student journalists and how to be good journalists beyond high school, but you're doing that through censoring them. So you're certainly not sending the right message to both the advisors of the publication and to the student journalists who are members of the publication.
Well, and just by way of wrap up, Henry, that's a terrific point that this is a learning and a teaching experience that is supposed to be preparing the students for a future. And you're out working at a professional newspaper right now as a student intern as you get ready to go to college. How has the experience of working at the Spoke prepared you, and how do you think that experience would have been different if you were working under this new proposed set of rules?
I can tell you that my experience, over 4 years at the Spoke has been fantastic. I mean, I can really say that I've learned, more about, not only writing and reporting, but also, the moral and ethical considerations that go into journalism. And I really feel like, also learning how to run a paper, a 40-person paper, learning how to teach students and work with younger reporters how to report on stories. I think I've really learned more in the Spoke than I have in the other, stellar academic classes we have at Conestoga. And going up into college, I looked to do journalism or government, but the skills that I learned in this book about how to write and report, be objective, have respect for those who are involved, and those skills that have been taught to me by my advisors and working with other editors are just really skills that I'll carry with me for the rest of my life. And if this policy proposal is put into place, I can really say that those experiences just would not have happened. I mean, the reporting that we've conducted just really wouldn't happen if this was in place. And not only would that be a disservice to the community, but it would also be a disservice to the student journalists who are on this paper, who are here to learn how to be true reporters. And if they're going to be censored by the administration, they just won't have those experiences. And that'd just really be a real shame.
Well, Seth Zweifler and Henry Rome, really thank you for being with us. I think anyone who's listening today knows that they could not find two more articulate spokespeople for why student journalists are trustworthy and mature and responsible than the two of you, and particularly for those who are listening and might find themselves in this same situation. What's so important is that the two of you, even though you disagree with the policies of your school district, have gone about this in a very respectful fashion. No name calling, no insulting. It's all been conducted in a really above board and professional way, and hopefully that's going to carry the day at the end with your school district. So good luck to you. Thanks for being with us, and we'll certainly be following the story at the Student Press Law Center. And thanks for all of you who are listening to the Student Press Law Center podcast. We encourage you to check out our website at www.splc.org to follow this story and other stories impacting the student media. And if you are a student journalist or an advisor with a question about your own legal rights, call our hotline at 703-807-1904 or email us at splc@splc.org. Thanks again for listening.